You are listening to The Roundtable with Gabriel Joseph Shadar, debating the big issues. The Roundtable, about the nation, across the nation. Radio Mirai.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this Mirai Roundtable debate with me, Gabriel Joseph Shadar. Today we discuss the use of social media among the young people in South Sudan. And we try to assess the positive and negative impact of the social media on the young people in South Sudan. And we will try to see whether this social media has been really working for the best or for the worst conditions and situation of the young people in our country. And we'll also tackle globally what is meant by social media and how it is applying for the region and is applying for the continent. With me in the studio is Khamis Cosmas, media officer from the Community Empowerment for Progress organization. SEPPO, welcome Khamis Cosmas to Radio Mirai Debate.
Thank you.
And also Hakim George is a freelance journalist, and also he's a filmmaker journalist, and he's an activist on social media. Welcome Hakim on Radio Mirai.
Hi, thanks.
Thank you. I will ask you, first of all, two of you, to give me, or the listener, a brief definition about what is meant really by social media. Let me start by SEPPO's media officer, Khamis Cosmas. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Basically, when we talk about social media is actually a platform that gives people an opportunity to interact and to create that environment that they are able to share informations and, of course, to link up with their friends. And, of course, social media, basically focusing on Facebook, is a platform that is created some time back, around 2004, so that it gives the globe an opportunity to communicate to friends, to communicate to relatives, to create issues of business. So that is generally how social media is important.
What do you add, Hakim, George?
I think it is the same thing, because we are all talking about the same tools that people are using for, like, communications between people, and mainly now Facebook, Twitter, and all these become the tools that people are using for social media. Though there is some ways people still communicate and link, not using these electronic tools, but those are the famous and the one used everywhere in the world.
Ironically, the social media is the drive by youth activists, right? Most of them, they are being created by young people.
Yeah. That is the fact. And I can say, even like, it was created by youth. It is an initiative that was created by young people. And still now you can find that the main users of these electronic social media, youth mainly. I can say maybe 70 or 85% of the most people using the social media tools are youth. So I don't know, it is maybe influenced by the idea that the initiative was created by youth, but youth are very active in using this social media.
Yeah. So what has been some of the general impact from young people really controlling these social media tools globally? What do you see, Mr. Khamis Cosmas?
Thank you for that question. Of course, the impact of this social media basically to the young generation that is upcoming, one of it is that you find that these young people, much of the time they spend on social media than doing something that is really productive. That's one impact that I have so far noticed. The other impact that I have also seen, of course, impact can be negative or positive. One of the things is that it makes this young generation to create a lot of friendship with different people from different regions, from different countries, from different continents. So to me it created that opportunity of getting closer and closer and closer, and that is I think one of the most important impact that I've so far noticed from the young generation.
Let's come to some statistics that we find about, because this thing has been assessed. Every year there is assessment of the social media globally. So some of the statistics I have here say 25% of users on Facebook don't bother with any kind of privacy control. They just don't care. Maybe they know it, but they don't care. Another statistic says 21% of Facebook users are from Asia. And they say the users in India are far more numerous than the whole users in Africa on Facebook. Some another statistics say 23% of Facebook users check their account 5 or more times daily. And coming to comparison of women, they say women are dominant than men on social media. Like this statistic says, it's from New York. It says women are actively using the big three social media network more than their male counterparts. Women make up 64% on Facebook users and 58% of Twitter users. Mm. So what do you think about some of these statistics, Hakim?
I think if, let me start first with social media security matters in that terms, because even like people who have their computers and using internet every day, they don't, some, like I can say maybe 30% of the people, they don't care about the electronics and the devices they have, the security of those devices. And if you come to Facebook, I think they need to really scrutinize the statistics. And I can say it is more than 25%.
Mm-hmm.
It is more than that, because people just care about logging or register.
Yeah, these statistics are coming from even from the U.S. or the I mean the first world.
Yeah, but
West.
I think maybe there are some places they didn't
Didn't do the survey
to.
There. Yeah.
And I can say maybe even South Sudan is not included in their research, which I'm sure it is more than that. Mm-hmm. And again, when we come to talk about the statistics of Asia, that they have, like, I don't know, what was the percentage in Asia?
They say the Asia is 21% of Facebook users are from Asia.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think there's some facts and some reasons that makes people in Asia using, being like that.
Yeah, they are numerous than any continent anyway.
In social media, it, like, there's many facts I can say. Also, freedom of expression participates a lot in these places, so people always find the easiest way for them to go and express themselves. Mm. So the same way, it can apply also to South Sudan. If I said we have a huge population or statistics of social media users in South Sudan also, it is due to some factors or facts that Asia is also like using it for.
What do you add, Khamis Cosmas?
Yeah, thanks. I think the question of privacy in the social media, I think, is something that really, really the Facebook users don't care. Mm. For example, if you want to post some pictures, you can post a picture that is really, that you are not supposed to post into the Facebook, because a picture that is posted, it is circulated widely to all the friends that you have. And then those friends also keep on circulating to the friends that he or she has.
Yeah.
So to me, I think people don't care about privacy in Facebook, and that's something that's really obvious. And when it comes to the percentage that 21% of Asian people are much more using Facebook, me, I will say yes, simply because those are countries that have already developed, and much of the population is already educated, and actually they know that Facebook, using Facebook is creating more chance and getting more friends. So actually they also have a lot of time in using Facebook, simply because you can see that you find somebody can stay online for 24/7 hours, 24/7. So so that's possible. That can make people the percentage to meet it can go higher.
And we come to the issue of accessibility. How much is social media accessible for young people in South Sudan here? We start with Hakim.
The accessibility, of course, we know, like mobile or telecommunication companies now in South Sudan, they manage to like plug in the internet services, which become like an easy access to anybody to be online or to join the network. So the easiest thing whenever you get internet on your computer is you want to get Twitter, you want to get your Facebook set up, and even if you don't have an like a Facebook account, of course you're going to start like setting up a new Facebook account.
Yeah.
So access to internet, I think it is not become a problem nowadays. It is maybe financially sometimes if you're not able to
financial
like
factors.
Okay, that might like withdraw you from thinking of this, but I don't think the access to social media through these networks or the internet is problem nowadays, because you don't need to have wires or wireless network. Yeah. You can just buy things. So I don't think there is a problem with the access to these things.
And do we have cheaper phones than before, so that people can buy them and have access, easy access to social media?
Listen, in South Sudan, I can say also the situation is a bit different in here.
Yeah.
There is also some like in our government, like the authorities here, they don't have that sophisticated technology that can sometimes block people from access social media like in other countries, which I can say South Sudan is still good, better than some other countries.
Like in China, they have a new, a different setup for Facebook, different Twitter.
They have different things, but it's still like, I can say it's still like, people are still lucky here that the government didn't manage to get these sophisticated things, but still, like, you're free to access whatever you want, whenever you are ready to.
Social networks and internet is more open in South Sudan than other countries compared. Yes, what do you add, Kamis?
Yeah, I'm picking from what my colleague has just said. I think in South Sudan, I will say access to internet is not all that is accessible in all areas in South Sudan. Because we find that these companies are basically in the cities, like, for example, in Juba, Rumbek, Wau. And taking into consideration the situation that has erupted in South Sudan, I think the users of Facebook are not much more...
They are concentrated in
the big towns.
In the big towns and urban places. So that is another way of marginalizing the bigger number of people who might be out in the rural areas.
Exactly.
Because we know that education in South Sudan is just still between 28-27% of the total population. That means also, and among this population, not everybody can afford, a smartphone or pay time for the internet cafe or something like that. So we still say we have a little number of users of
social media
compared to the bigger population, right? Among the educated,
Among the educated, I don't think it is that very very little. And the other thing that I might like a bit differ with my colleague here when he said about the access to the social media in some rural areas or in these places is, we have in South Sudan, I think the biggest cities in South Sudan all are connected to the telecommunication networks. Whereby I can say, like, maybe the lack of them or people getting to get linked to social media, maybe it is lack of having smartphones. But I can say in like the 10 states, as we know, they have all these networks. And maybe it covers some, in some places it covers, I can say, Let me say 60% of a state.
At least.
So, if people can get linked to the social media, it can be due to their financial capability of not getting to buy smartphones. I know now people are really, really in social
media.
But
do you think that for young people to get the smartphones is really an economic, a financial anxiety? So people might struggle a lot and save a lot to just to get a smartphone, the latest, and so on. So
yeah, and that actually that is the business now, whereby like I think the manufacturers, people who make smartphones, they know what people need because they know the tools and the apps that are developed. So people would go run to buy smartphones so they can use their things. So they kept on producing things.
Yeah.
So they managed to like bring or come up every now and then with new models and affordable smartphones, so people can buy it. Yeah. So you can use Facebook, you can use Skype, and you can use Twitter. So affordability of smartphones is there, but also the financial capability also sometimes can drag you back.
Khamis, what do you add?
thank you, Hakim, for that clarification. I think the situation of Southern, of course, it differs from one state to another. Looking at the issue of the phones, I think, of course, it differs from economic background. Some people have money that they can buy for their children's smartphone.
We have people going to Dubai.
Exactly. That makes people to be throughout online. And seeing the situation in South Sudan, people like to, you know, connect a lot with friends. And sometimes business goes online through Facebook. You find a lot of things are done through Facebook. So I think in South Sudan, our percentage may also come up as soon, and if there is a status ongoing, I think we'll be able to have the percentage of South Sudan.
People are relying on generators more than a permanent source of power these days. Some people are using solar to charge their smartphones. That is, but they are connected anyway. And I have a lot of questions, participation on the questions I have put on Facebook about the discussion. Let us come to, in Africa, there is the youth movement that has been really connected to use of Facebook. We have the Arab Spring, because the youth in Egypt and Cairo, especially in big cities, they relied much on Facebook to create the Arab Spring.
You are listening to The Roundtable with Gabriel Joseph Shadar.
Let us come to another point after this. And I tell my listeners that, listeners to Radio Mirai, you are listening to Mirai Roundtable Debate with me, Gabriel Joseph Shadar. And I have with me in the studio Hakim George, filmmaker, journalist, and social media activist. And I have also Khamis Cosmas from the Community Empowerment for Progress Organization. He's a media officer. And we are discussing the benefits and the challenges of social media usage for the young people in South Sudan. And having said the topic again, let us see from Khamis Cosmas. You have done a study about social media usage in South Sudan. So what are some of the basic findings of your study about the use of social media among the users, especially young people in South Sudan?
Thank you, Joseph Sadar. Based on our study that we carried out, what driven us to carry the study was when South Sudan went into conflict, that was on 15th of December 2013. We find that in Facebook, people are much more using Facebook for their own issues than promoting peace.
Okay.
You find that people are posting pictures that are not really in South Sudan. And if I can give you an example of during the study we carried out, we find that a picture of a Ugandan soldier, I don't know where it is, where the person has been killed, and it was posted being said that the person has been killed in South Sudan, more especially in Bor. So that's something that we try to find out from our study, that Facebook users are using Facebook not positively but, you know, negatively for the population, and that has created a lot of if you follow really the Facebook, it has created a lot of debate, like it is our government, you know, it is our rebel movement, you know. Facebook is good, but sometimes it is a form that can really instigate a lot of problem in the community, and it can make people go into tribal line. You find that people are posting actually pictures of either the president being saying something that the president has not said, but it has been fabricated through the Facebook, so that it can really influence other people to pick up and go to the community and begin demonstrating. And that is one thing that we have really, really seen out. And in South Sudan, before the conflict, the Facebook users are really using the Facebook maximally, and in a way that can really create a lot of business, a lot of friendship. But after the conflict, people shifted. Instead of posting good pictures and images, they post negative pictures that can influence any other community in South Sudan to go into conflict with another tribe in South Sudan. You find that people are in Facebook naming tribes and saying this tribe is like this, this tribe is like this. So in South Sudan, in our study, we find that Facebook has really contributed into the situation in South Sudan, more especially during the conflict. and after the conflict.
Yeah. What do you say, Hakim, to these findings?
Yeah, I think, okay, now he showed us the difference of Facebook or social media before the conflict and after the conflict. And me as someone who started on, like, on some social media groups for, it's supposed to be something peacefully and for negative roles in the peace building in the country. Until after the conflict or after the 15th of December thing, everything changed. And then we started, like, feeling that social media is now officially politicized, whereby you have parties and you have oppositions, you have government in there, and you have people who are actually coming with mandates of doing something, trying to get something out of it. And the major part of the bad impact that is really affecting the crisis in the country is that we have a huge participation from diaspora to these social media who, like, for me, I said the diaspora, they are seeing South Sudan from, like, through TV and news that they are getting.
Yeah.
Or some fabricated news, even if their people are the one telling them. So their participation, the diaspora's participation to the social media is really, 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 I can say 70% negative to the goodwill of the country, because it is all about conflict. You guys are this and the other ones are this, and we know we should do this, but they are not coming with something good and, like, putting people on themselves. So after the 2013 thing, everything changed in South Sudan in terms of the use of social media. And even the use of social media became, like, more and more, like, people started really getting to see what is happening, or, like, in the social media life. And now, like, the population of the statistics is more than before 15th of December.
Yeah. And so the consequences of all this, it has resulted into what people have shifted the conflict to other areas. And what is the consequence of that? Because you are actually commenting with your friend, like, because you cannot comment on somebody who is not your friend, you see. So did it create a lot of hostility among friends and alienation? So
let me just
confrontation.
Let me just get into this.
Yeah.
We have to be clear on this.
Yeah.
We know what happened on 15th of December 2013.
Yeah.
And we know how South Sudan become. And you know well that the country divided to two.
Yeah.
It is not divided to Dinka and Nuer, but it divided to two.
Yes.
You
yes.
can say 50% of this and 50% from this.
Yeah.
So, everything, like, people got into themselves. Whoever was not around, whoever used to, like, criticize a certain party, okay, now you're categorized in the other side, colors. Yeah. And then instead of every time, whenever, like, on social media, people used to discuss and have, like, good discussions, now it is going to be started, like, blaming on you and you're blaming on me. I'm from the other side and the other one is from the other side. The same people who yesterday, before the crisis, was having all these social discussions and criticisms, now it is not that thing anymore. Nobody accepts any criticisms from anybody anymore. So people just divide it to two. And it's not anybody else, but it is the same friends that you used to discuss with them. They are the one now you are having issues with them.
Yeah. And so, a lot of abusive language is being used there. So
very bad.
It's missing a lot of, objectivity. People are not. It has been reeling on subjectivity. Just you are that and you are that. But the objectivity element of discussion and debate is missing, right?
And for me, it shows, like, it become like the mirror. Okay, for me, it is a mirror to really know what people couldn't say it.
Yeah.
offline to themselves.
Yeah.
But
people find giving more people courage to speak.
Yeah, there you can speak. Okay, whereby even if you know you cannot handle that person, you can keep on putting writing whatever you want to write there. Whatever they are doing, they are not going to find you.
Yeah.
So so people find like, okay, it's a good place. It's a good playground. It's safe. Nobody sees me. Nobody touches me. Let me just put whatever I want to put. So people just put whatever they want there, and then create issues, and that things at the end, after all, it is still going to affect people offline.
So, what do you add to this?
I think it's very interesting. One of the consequences that I have so far noticed is that during the crisis, Facebook has gone into a situation that it create differences among the communities, and it has made the young generation to go into groupings. If you see from the Facebook, you find that Equatorian group, Bari group, you know, all this kind of grouping came because of the use of the Facebook and all the criticism that people have been saying throughout the Facebook. Again, the other impact or the consequence that I have realized is the psychological impact of the communities. People who are much more engaged in using Facebook, they are psychologically tortured, because all the time you find somebody being commenting about your tribe, somebody being commenting about your community. So psychologically you are tortured, and you cannot see where this person is, because it is really, really confusing. The person can comment from US, from Norway, and it is very difficult for you now to face that person. So psychologically you'll be tortured. Yeah. So that is, I think, one of the consequences that I've realized.
I can see that people are self-appointing themselves to speak on behalf of their communities. Nobody has been mandated to say, you go and speak on our behalf.
Yeah, that one is also there. That one is also there, Shadar, but also there is people who are appointed. Like, I can say that you can feel like there is like an organized kind of groups that they have everybody, and they have mandates, and they have like what to do and all these things. There is people who they just appoint themselves to do whatever they feel or to speak on behalf of their communities.
Yeah.
But also, as I can say, there is parties online.
Yeah.
Okay. There is like all these groups, like raveling groups are online, and they have their guys fighting and the other ones are fighting. So it become a big issue, really. It is not a simple
thing. One, we can say it has been a destructive, I mean, and it is a distraction also from focusing on the main issues, and also disintegrating social fabric in some way or another among the educated. Forget about the...
I can say recently, just recently it became destructive, the social media. And the biggest shame that I'm always looking at is that in South Sudan, as we know, that the population of the educated people are very little.
Very little, yeah.
And now, we, the educated ones, we are the spoiled ones now.
Yeah.
Like, we are the one causing all these electronic fights. And, like, our fight online, if it is something to be brought out there, we are not going to South Sudan. So, and all these things are carried out by the elites that supposed to be considered. The elites that coming with visions and thoughts and ideas to make South Sudan, but we are the one actually ruining it online. That shows a bad thing of
Kamis, what does it say about the freedom of expression and how people are using freedom of expression?
Thank you. Of course, freedom of expression differs from one media to another. When we talk specifically about Facebook, it means the freedom of expression in Facebook is completely free.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody who is restricting you. Yeah, unlimited. Yeah. There's nobody who is controlling whatever you want to post. You can post all nonsense that you want to post. You can post. But in other media, of course, freedom of media is controlled because there are laws that can guide you if you want to do anything. But with the media, I mean, with social media, specifically Facebook,
you put nonsense and you will have to bear the consequences.
Yeah, you'll have to bear the consequences. But taking a situation where our country, I think, is not much more focused on the usage of Facebook, so somewhere somehow things become difficult for one to be arrested or to be caught. So that is you can find that somebody's based in US can send any nonsense to and post to a friend in South Sudan. So for you to find that person here in South Sudan is very difficult. So there are a lot of differences in using social media. So
can I just touch something
on this freedom of expression?
Yes,
I know that the people who are authorized to guide and administer the freedom of expression in South Sudan, they are trying, okay, to see what is happening online. I think they should look at that there is something lacking here that made people to go behind the scenes and use social media, okay, to express themselves. That shows that really, really there's no freedom of expression.
So it's another outlet to the grievances.
So it is. I think it is a good monitor for like our authorities in South Sudan to look at that and try to create a serious debate and try to look at the issues of freedom of expression. Mm. And freedom of expression, it is not only for journalists.
Yeah.
Journalists, their freedom of expression is abide by the ethics.
Yes.
But the citizens, the normal citizens, they have a right to express themselves in the way they want it. Then the authorities to go scrutinize and filter whatever they are saying to look at how they can solve it. But with journalists, we always abide by our ethics. But though we know that we don't like using your ethics, still doesn't work. But it's still, government should look at that and really feel like there is something wrong. That's why people are using social media.
You are listening to the Roundtable with Gabriel Joseph Shadar.
And I'm discussing the pros and cons of social media usage among the young people in South Sudan. And with me in the studio is Khamis Cosmas from Community Empowerment for Progress Organization. He's the media officer there. And Hakim George is a filmmaker, journalist, and social media activist. Hakim, tell me a little bit about your effort at controlling some of the groups on Facebook you are moderating or you are controlling and so on. You have said a lot about how people are misusing their ways of expression, and that has been aggravated by the conflict and also worsened during the conflict, and so it created a dichotomy between young people that have divided themselves into two camps. How have you been trying to control some of the ways people have been expressing themselves as moderators of Facebook groups in South Sudan?
Yeah, it is an easy keyboard work, but it's not an easy mind handling job.
What do you do?
Okay, electronically, I use the tools that are provided by Facebook.
How do you decide that this thing is not appropriate? I have to block this guy. I have to send a message to this guy.
Yeah, so like we have this Sudanese Janubian group that I think many people know about it. It is one of the biggest social media Facebook group in South Sudan with like a membership or with active membership of almost now 42,000. Yeah, 42,000 people.
Yeah.
And it is not easy still us controlling things because, okay, controlling, for me as a journalist, I don't want to be controlled.
You can't talk about control.
So what we try to do is we try to create, like, you can say, user manuals with the goals of the group, and then what we would want to see it on the group and what we wouldn't want to the members to participate with. So we have a certain things that we always tell the members on the group not to, like, if you try to write something about this kind of instigating or working on like hate speech directly, like on the group, of course this is the things that we used to remove. We remove your post, but we don't remove the user, so you will still be there and you will be removed, your post will be removed. And one of the group members, the admins, we have like six admins, will like try to tell you, okay, what you did, you can go read the manual or the guidance or the guides we put out.
Yeah.
You go through it, then you participate in the group, because this group is not about tribes, and it's not about a personal criticism.
Mm.
So if you want to say something general, criticize anybody, like public figures, it is okay. But if you are picking a certain group, we are not going to accept that. So it has been a challenge for us. Sometimes, like in a day, you have like 100 posts. You want to filter them. You want to go through them so you can put it out. And then, so we reached to also a level whereby, okay, we removed the option of keeping posts on hold, whereby people just post.
Yeah.
We find it there, and then we get it out. Also, it didn't work that well. So we again put like a notice out to the members of the group, like, okay, guys, this is our group. Okay. Whatever you feel like it is not good there, you guys have to vote. The members have to vote on whatever post they feel like this post is not good. And then we remove it. If we didn't find anybody voting on that, we leave it.
Okay.
That means like, okay, it is okay with them, or they feel like there's something with it, so we'll leave it. So this is the normal, traditional, and simple ways we are doing it. But there's no any politics or anything behind it.
You're doing it free.
Yeah, freely. Yeah. It is like free. We employed ourselves.
How do you enjoy that?
Because I'm active online, so it is not, as I told you, it is not much work.
Yeah.
As I'm like doing my social media things like on Facebook or doing work online, it is just a matter of click. You go to that one, you check it, and come back.
Yeah.
The only thing that you sometimes feel like, okay, you need to do
it's more easy for somebody who is already a journalist, close to the media.
And then with some, even with some of the admin members, whereby they don't have like smartphones. So they always have to go to where there's internet for them to log in and then check what is happening. So it is a bit not easier for them. But we employed ourselves there. We like volunteered to do it. But
Well, what do you say as a commenting on this?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Hakim, for giving us that elaboration. I think what Hakim is working on now is one of the tools that can really be used to control this usage of Facebook. I also wish that the owner of the Facebook should also use the same criteria like what
they are
using.
I think they get reports. Because you report to them, but it might take one day to reach them when they come back.
So that they are able to at least to filter and scrutinize out all the posting that the people are doing through the Facebook, because some are posting good, of course, you know, good materials, and some are posting materials that are not good.
Yeah.
So if they can use, I think, the same system that Hakim is trying to come up with, I think it can really change the situation of the Facebook users across the globe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listeners to Radio Mirai, this is me, Gabriel Joseph Shadar, on Miraya Roundtable Debate. I'm discussing the usage of social media among the young people in South Sudan. We look into the negative and positive things, and what is being learned by the people who have been administrating social media groups, and also doing research on that. Now let me come to the personal level again. We are back to the personal level. We discussed the society, politics, and so. But again, there was a research that has been done, and the result was that it was done in the UK. And they say that 50% of social media users in the UK said that it has changed their lives, but not for the better. Mm. And 45% say they feel worried if Facebook or an email is inaccessible. We know that. And 60% said they feel they need to switch off. It's enough is enough now. And it has been associated also to sleeping disorders. 25% said they have difficulty sleeping after using social media. Mm-hmm. And 25% said they feel difficulties in relationships, like, you know, due to confrontational online behavior. Like you have a boyfriend, you have a girlfriend, and then when you are face-to-face, you are more polite. But when you are on... more confrontation, and then you would destroy the relationship. Yeah. So what do you say on this? At personal level, it's changing the way people are socially interacting and affecting people in some way.
Yes. At personal level, to me, social media, when I started opening my account of social media, especially in Facebook, I find more friends whom I don't know. And on their walls, they can write things that can educate me.
Yes.
That's one thing that I have learned from them. And again, on their walls, I can find things that does not educate me.
Yeah.
And to that level, somehow it has given me a knowledge, and somehow I'm also worried.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where this information is going at the end of the day. So I'm the same like that percentage. I'm also worried. And again, right now, I'm not very much on Facebook.
Yeah.
In a day, I can say I can open maybe once, or I don't open in a day because I find that Facebook is having a lot of information I don't like and I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
So easy to do the posting. You find that people post things that they are not supposed to do it through online.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you don't know where this information is going. Now, what will happen if let's say Facebook company has closed its company and everybody has gone offline. Where are these informations going?
Yeah.
Are we not selling out, for example, our country? Are we not selling out vital information that people have been looking for? So, to my level, it has changed me somehow, and it has made me to create more friends that we exchange phone calls through Facebook.
Yeah.
And somehow I'm also worried where this information are going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. For me, I think it is all about addiction. Because addiction is not only about smoking or alcohol or these things. And what makes your addiction to Facebook or social media or all these technologies is your self-time management. If you manage to really organize your things, you will not get addicted to it. And the negativity of these things that always changing people's life is now there is much information that every day you will know, and then you reach your level whereby like I have to log in to know what is new on social media or online. So it becomes something you are doing it every day, and then after sometimes you feel like if you didn't log in, it is just like you need to go smoke cigarette, for example. Okay, so I think addiction of social media, it is the same way we addicted to use phone, even like another smartphone.
Yeah.
I was still like I cannot live without my phone.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's something missing in my day. For the whole day I'm not going to be okay. So it is all about managing your time and managing your issues and find something that will always cover this area of you and I. And the third thing is that, like I can say, most of our businesses is now managed online or electronically managed, whereby you have appointments through email, you have things coming through emails, people are studying online, and all this stuff. So you are, by any means, if you are trying to avoid it, but there is things still going to drag you back to it. I think it is not easy for people to avoid it.
Yeah.
But it is all about addiction.
Yeah, he was saying, I don't know where this information is going, because the people running these things, they are also monitoring your behavior.
Yeah.
You look for this word. And so next time, the site will pop up. When once you log in, they show, how did you know I was looking for this? So they are monitoring you, psychologically controlling you in one way or another. They know what you are looking for and so on. So also to come to our context in South Sudan and the effect of that culturally on the behavior of people. We know something like talking about sex, discussing sex and so is still a taboo.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's free. And South Sudan, they don't have even any censorship on all the websites that are bringing pornography and so on, so on, so. And people think they're really worried about how their kids and their children, girls and so, are doing there in the internet. And they don't know, and they can upload anything. And they can be subjected to cyber crime also. They can be like invited to go somewhere where they can be like abused or something like that, or abuse even on the internet. And people say, especially girls, they say, is very bad experience for them on the social social website, whatever you call it. Mm. There is so much abuse on women and girls. Well, what do you think?
I think for that one, I have to go offline and say if you have a good social education, you will avoid having such things online. But as well as if you don't avoid discussing the taboos, it will always be a taboo and it will always be a shame. So for me, I will disagree with anybody who is like saying, it is really bad discussing sex online. Okay, and what I will stand with them on is the way they discuss it. Yeah. It is not like used as an abuse, but it is like an educational discussion that people can benefit from it. It is okay, but if it is an abuse, a fight, then I will send it back to the social education, way back from our houses, our communities. Okay, and the parents having children who are always online, and they're always like having a freedom to log into any porn website and log into it. Sometimes in some countries, they have
a control.
Yeah, they have control over all these graphic context, like contents that is harmful for a certain ages. But in South Sudan, we don't have these things. As I told you, our space is free for any dirt and any clean things that are coming in. But always discussion about taboos, for me, it is not a problem at all. But the way people discuss it is the problem, because always you discuss something to educate, or try to know something. So
What do you say, Kamis?
Thank you, Akim, for that clarification. If you see the moral behaviors that Facebook users are trying to do, I think taking the situation of South Sudan where taboo is a problem, but again, discussing our taboo, I think, is one way of creating education to our young generation. It is all about how do you communicate your information out to the people. If you communicate it wrongly, and then it is definitely picked in a wrong way. But if you communicate it rightly, I think it can be picked rightly. So this moral behaviors are there. This kind of photographs are there. Sometime you find your friend tagging you into his wall in a video that you don't like it. So unless you like it, you will not be able to watch.
Those are hackers, actually. Those are not actual friends. Those are hackers. Because they think people, like, I think most of the countries that they send, they go to them through these porn videos. They know there is a huge number of people who always try to look for porn videos. That's why they try to find a way.
So they are studying the behavior on the internet.
So that is the things here. If they know what you like to talk about, they'll always send you things, South Sudan, like something about South Sudan and all this stuff, even about your community. But it's a hacker. They will just plug in through that and you click, kalas, your computer is done.
That brings us to the conclusion of our discussion, that social media has really brought a lot of changes among the educated, and they will continue. And so young people are using this social media for the benefit and benefit of their communities and societies. For our South Sudanese young people, what do you tell them now, that to use the social media in a way that will benefit them individually and in a way that will benefit their local communities? Even in Kenya, we have examples. Campaign have been made to target the local community, cleaning campaign, environment campaign, all these kind of things, education campaign. So what do you say, Khamis Cosmas, to the listeners about a better use of social media?
Thank you. I think what the listeners need to understand is that social media is a tool that is used for creating peace among ourselves, and they should use it productively so that they understand exactly the importance of using Facebook, the importance of using a lot of media that are online. So to South Sudanese, I think they should at least make sure that they should not imitate ideas that people are, like, for example, ideas of West posting things that really we don't like. They should post things that can educate the rest of the community, because anything that you post educative can be picked and can keep educating and educating and educating. So I think South Sudanese need to use the Facebook in a very productive way so that it can educate our generation more and more.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Khamis Cosmas. Yes, Hakim.
For me specifically, Facebook, it is not for education.
Yeah.
But it is for interaction between people, whereby I can say, and still like it is good for some debates and discussions that people can have like a freedom to discuss. So I can, not only to our young people, because it is not only young people using, though they are the biggest population, but whoever is using Facebook for in South Sudan specifically, let's make a good use of that, as it is the only platform where we can express ourselves freely. Please, let's express ourselves for the benefit of the country, not to destroy it, and not to provoke authorities to start controlling the only way or only place we express ourselves in. Let's keep Facebook a good tool for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Hakim George, a filmmaker, journalist, and social media activist. And Khamis Cosmas, media officer from the Community Empowerment for Progress Organization. Thanks for being with me on Miraya Roundtable. And we hope we will have a lot of fun with social media and reduce our anxiety and we increase our freedom.
Yeah.
And thank you very much. I've been with you, Gabriel Joseph Shadar. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Shukran.
You are listening to The Roundtable with Gabriel Joseph Shadar.